It's the Book of the Week.
And it's that time of the week again. Yes, it is time for Portsmouth Authors Collective with myself, Laurie Westron, and our guest author, who is Eileen Fyle. And Eileen lives in Southsea. She enjoys writing and performing short stories and poetry. She is a member of Portsmouth Writers Hub, Portsmouth Poetry Party and Tea Articulation, where she takes part in spoken word events. Eileen has written for projects across the city, such as the 200th celebration of Dickens and the Gallipoli Centenary. Her poem, The Dockyard Gate, was made into a short film for the Dark Side Portside Trail, and in 2019 she was one of the authors in the interactive production Cursed City Dark Tides, which was performed across Portsmouth. She founded Tea Tray Creatives in 2019, meeting weekly with fellow writers to read their work, give and receive feedback in a friendly environment. Her book, published in October this year, it's Eileen's debut novel, and it's called About Time. And welcome to Victory, Eileen.
Thank you.
How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Do you want to just do me a favour and read a little bit about your book?
Certainly. Working hard to complete her final year project, Imogen feels tired and out of sorts. When her electricity is cut off, she searches for matches and finds herself in the 19th century, being questioned by a pompous elderly man. She demands to be returned and finds herself in the future. Getting back to her own time in order to complete her degree is not straightforward. She travels between the past and the future, desperately trying to make sense of what's happening to her. Why is it so important for her to find out what's happening to the people she meets? Will she ever get back in time?
Thank you for that, Eileen. Can I just ask you some really simple questions? First of all, why do you write?
I write because I have all these words, stories in my head, and if I didn't write, I think my head would burst.
And when did you start writing?
I started telling stories when I was quite young, because I have three younger sisters, and I started writing them down, I suppose, when I was at school. But I started writing what I would call properly writing, I think when I retired. I had the time to write.
Yeah, I think that's quite a common thing. A lot of authors that come in, so I guess they've got a book in their head throughout their life or whatever, and then they retire and do find the time to do what they've wanted to do all of their life. That's what's happened to you, yeah?
Yes, I think, I mean, I was doing poetry and short stories, and then, of course, we had COVID, and so much time, and I just sat. My short stories became longer and longer. And I said to one of my friends, oh, I've got 30,000 words. I think I've got a book. And they laughed at me and said, no, you need 80,000. So I just carried on writing.
Brilliant. How do you come up with characters? I mean, are any of them based on people that you know?
I don't think they're based on people that I know, but I guess people come in and out of your life and they leave bits of themselves, don't they? So my characters, they just become. I get a character in my head. I'm not so good on names, but I get a character in my head and the story unfolds, and I'll probably start writing it down and the story unfolds completely differently to how I expected.
And how does it work in your head when you're sort of putting a book together or putting parts of a book together? Do you see the picture or is it just the words?
Oh, that's a good question. I've never thought about that. No, I think I see the picture. I see it unfold. I often walk along the seafront, and although I don't plot, the story goes through my head. And then when I come back and write it down, it's slightly differently. But yes, it is pictures.
Yeah, I kind of think that's the best way for anybody to work, really, because a picture tells 1,000 words, doesn't it? Do you plot the story? Do you plan it?
No, I definitely don't plan. Somebody comes into my head and almost takes over. And then I probably think, well, where do I go with this? And I start to write, but it's more the character in the main character in the book tells the story through me. And then towards the end of the book, I find things start to come together. And that's when I do a little bit of plotting just to tie it all together.
Sure, yeah. Are you a disciplined writer? Is there a certain time of day that you write?
No, not at all. When I was at work, I used to be very disciplined because I had three children and a full-time job, and I did all sorts of other things, and I had to be very disciplined, but now I'm not. I'll get up and think, oh, I've got something in my head, I'll write it down. And then I think, before that, I'll just make a cake, or I'll just do this, or just do that. And in the end, I'm writing in the evening, probably.
It's funny, because last week I was talking with Laurie about procrastination, and I think it's a big thing for authors particularly. Is that a problem for you?
I think that's my life. Procrastination with a capital P.
I guess it's pretty much that for anybody that's in the arts, I think, really, finding the time and being in the zone, of course.
It's being in the zone. I have the time. I have no excuse.
Would you like to read a passage from your book at all?
Oh, yeah, sure. Shall I start almost at the beginning?
I think it's a very good place to start.
Yes. So Imogen's in the pub. She's quite a sociable person. She goes to the pub every week to do pub quizzes, where they hope to win either some money or some food, because they're penniless students, of course. So, but this night she doesn't quite feel right. She's been in the pub and she's heard Cyndi Lauper's music going, which is her favourite song, and she says, oh, I've had enough, goes home. So once in my room, I pressed the light switch. Nothing happened. I tried again. Perhaps a bulb had blown. I stumbled to the table and pushed the switch on the lamp. Again, no light. I guess the fuse had blown. The street light outside the window cast a glow across the room. I had a large scented candle on the shelf, but where were the matches? I curse the fact that my flat was electric only. My head was really aching now. A car drove by, casting a light across the room. As it rippled along the wall, I could see the outline of a door. Strange. There was no door there. The house was old. Perhaps it had been blocked up. Walking over to the wall, I banged my knee on a chair. I felt along to where I'd seen the outline. Nothing. Imagination? I felt a handle, and as I turned it, the door opened inwards, and I fell through the opening. Once inside, the musty smell made me hold my breath. The smoke from the large fireplace billowed into the room and stung my eyes. Through the gloom, I could see a man sitting at a desk. Was he real? I felt as if I'd stumbled into a museum setting. My head was throbbing. I could hear my pulse beating in my ears. He looked up. You're late, he said brusquely. I swallowed. What did you say? You're late. I was expecting you an hour ago. Me? What is this? Are you stupid? He sighed deeply. They told me they were sending someone who'd know what to do, and they've managed to get hold of an imbecile. Now look here. I don't know what's going on. I've come through a door which I've never seen before. I'm totally confused. But there's no excuse for your rudeness. I turned, determined to go back to my room, but the door had disappeared. I walked over, feeling along the wall, trying to find it. You'll not find that door, if that's what you're looking for. It served its purpose.
Eileen, reading from your book, About Time. Not only are you a great writer, I think you're a really, really good reader. I love that.
Oh, thank you.
It sort of draws you in, doesn't it? And it kind of beckons the question, because that could be a short story in itself. What's the difference between writing a short story and a novel?
A short story is much easier.
Good answer.
There's not so much editing. But I like short stories because they've got to be pithy, they've got to grab somebody, hold them in, and I usually try and do ones with a bit of a twist in the tale to give a surprise. But the novel, the novel's got to hold somebody all the time. People, you want your readers to invest in the character. The character's got to be interesting enough, and then there's got to be sub characters to make the actual story.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. So is there anything that makes you nervous about writing or bringing a novel out? Or?
Oh, bringing a novel out, I was an absolute bag of nerves because...
I can understand it.
It's people's reaction to it. I was really expecting people to say, oh, this is a load of rubbish. What, you know, who do you think you are writing a book? All those sort of things. So I was very nervous.
I can understand that. And I guess your confidence grows with every time someone buys a book and gives you some feedback on it. Are you getting good feedback?
Yes, I am actually, quite surprisingly.
It shouldn't be surprising. I don't think you should be surprised about it. I mean, what you just read was delightful. And I'm not a big reader, but you've certainly sucked me in to want to read About Time, your book.
Thank you.
And maybe it is about time I did find more time to read myself. Is there anything else you have planned in the writing world?
Yes, I have got another novel that I've finished, and I'm in the task of editing that. At the moment, so I'm hoping next year to hand it over to somebody to proofread it and get that out as well.
It was amazes me. I mean, we have obviously every week we have a guest author coming in, and they've always got another book either in their head or half down on paper. And I wonder, I've never asked this question, but with a long-term author or what I call a serial writer, I wonder if there is ever a time when they think, that's it, I'm done, I've said all I have to say.
I don't know. I don't feel like that. There are so many bits, because I have this group on a Tuesday night where we read short stories to each other. And often I do a story and then I don't want to let it go, or it doesn't want to let me go. So I've got several that I could continue with.
Do you ever write, having written that book, and think, I could have done that better? Or no, I won't pose that question. That's a nasty one. I will say, I could edit that yet again.
Oh, definitely. I don't want to, though. I don't. Editing is something I have to do, and I'm not very good at it. But quite a few people have said to me they'd like the sequel.
That would probably be a better question from me. Eileen File and your book, About Time. I'm really pleased to have had you in the studio. And I'm going to play a song for you, because you have chosen Cyndi Lauper's song, Time After Time. Thank you for coming into Victory.
Thank you very much.
It's been an absolute pleasure. We'll be back after this with Laurie Westron, founder of Portsmouth Authors Collective, to have a chat about writing. So stick around. Back with part two of Portsmouth Authors Collective with myself and Laurie. Laurie, welcome.
Hi there, Bob.
How you doing?
I'm great.
Wasn't Eileen just great?
Oh, she's marvellous. Yeah.
I mean, not only, I really enjoyed the little bit of her book that I had read before she got here, but when she read it out, my goodness gracious.
I know, really dramatic, isn't it? Yeah.
Really, yeah, so expressive. Brilliant. I mean, that's, I guess, it's not just about writing, but when, I mean, she goes out and does public reads, so she's very good at that, but really draws you into the book, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Anyway, I want to talk about what you got up to at the weekend. Not everything, of course, but maybe you want to talk about the Wickham Christmas Fair.
Yeah. Oh, it was fantastic. I really enjoyed that. Christine Lawrence and I went out to Wickham. I was really surprised by what a big market it was.
So what was it, indoor or outdoor?
It was indoors in the community centre. It's a big community centre. I reckon there was probably 60 stalls,
wow.
Maybe more than that.
Were you trying not to buy other stuff?
Oh, no, I didn't not try to buy other stuff. No, I did. I came away with a few Christmas presents, shall we say.
Well, that's useful. That's
yeah,
very useful.
Yeah.
You had another market yourself recently for PAC?
Yes, the last weekend. Two weekends ago, it was at the Dockyards.
Oh, yeah. Well, we talked about that last week.
That's right,
that was successful as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was very good. So, yeah, I'm fully in the Christmas spirit now.
Are you definitely there. What flavour? Yeah, and Christmas is coming around rapidly, isn't it?
It is. Here we are in December now, and it'll be Christmas before we know it.
Have you got any other events coming up for people to have the opportunity to buy books? Because I think giving books as a Christmas present is a delightful present.
Yeah, I think, because I think books, especially if they're books that you know and love, you want to share those books with other people, don't you?
And they last forever. So.
Yeah, that's right. So, yes, we do have one more Christmas market. We're going to be at St. Faith's Church in Leon Solent this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. The market is open all day from 11 in the morning until 7 p.m.
Long time for you.
It's going to be a long, long weekend, but it'll be a lot of fun. And it's a wonderful event. We were there last year and really quite special, with lots of Christmas trees and caroling and I'm still hoping to find those baby goats.
You know, I keep on saying to you, I'm going to come to one of your markets, and I have been to a couple down at in Portsmouth, but I'd fancy this one particularly. And if I'm free next week, I am going to turn up and I'm going to go have a chat with a few of the authors.
Yeah, that would be wonderful.
Maybe record some little interviews and things, which is always fun to do. Okay, what topic should we pick on this week? I think we want to go back to basics a little bit. Learning to write. What do you reckon?
Okay.
So I've got a couple of notes here that you, I'll let you in on in a second. And normally on Radio Guys at Home, we do what you call preparation, but I am putting Laurie to the test here. So if somebody wants to learn to write, but doesn't know where to start, where would they get help from and advice? Help and advice. Where would they get that from?
I think there's lots of places. Simply looking at writing magazines is kind of a quick and easy place to start. They will have lots of tips about writing and writing exercises and critiques, and they'll focus on individual aspects of writing, creating a character or world building, that sort of thing. So that's one place.
Can I just stop you there? So I know you've taught creative writing. Are there the courses like that online?
Yes, there are. There are. There are some very expensive courses from, there's a couple of publishers who will do courses in various aspects of creative writing that are a bit pricey. But there are lots of others as well. I know a writer who lives, I believe she lives in Stoke. She leads a number of online creative writing classes.
Oh, wow.
And, Debbie Voisy is her name. Her website is Dublin Writer. And she has some good classes. And I know that there are lots of other people as well. And,
I'm aware that you're never frightened to share your the Portsmouth Authors Collective goings on with other writing clubs and hubs around the city. And there's the Portsmouth Writers Hub that you're also involved with.
Yes, yeah. And I think that's a good place if you're already a writer. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're just starting out or if you've been doing it for a long time. It's a good place to network with other people, to build contacts, and to maybe find those people who may help on an individual level, with reading and offering critiques and so forth. So, that's a very good thing.
We had Will Sutton in a few weeks ago. He does a lot of one-to-ones, does he? Or is it all classes?
He does a variety of things, mostly classes. And yes, he's got some great sessions on novel writing and editing and various aspects of writing. So, yeah, his website is a good place to look at for upcoming workshops. And of course there are, books on writing as well. And I think, that might also be a good place to start, because a good creative writing book will kind of take you through all of the different steps, such as creating a character, what goes into a character, what makes them engaging, and how to plot a story or how to keep a reader reading,
Absolutely.
All of those different things.
Getting people to turn that other page. So, okay, let's say I've got into writing now suddenly, and I've got a few pages down,
mm-hmm.
And I might pass that to you, or maybe to my sister and get some feedback. And if the feedback isn't quite what I expected and I'm a new writer, I could be offended by that and give up. Where would we go from there?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, feedback is something that can be quite sensitive because, you know, different people are at a different stage in their writing journey. And when we're just starting out, we can be really sensitive and any sort of criticism can be taken personally.
Or actually the wrong way.
Yes. And people can give feedback the wrong way and present it in a harsh way that can be quite damaging.
And I remember you saying some time ago about, you know, when you want to get a critique from somebody, don't ask people that are close to you because they won't give you the truth.
Yeah, I think, you know, maybe in the early days, then yes, you want that kind, gentle, loving feedback from your mother. But, you know, when you get serious, then I would say, no, you need to have feedback from people who actually know what they're talking about, which is not to say that my mother doesn't know what she's talking about, but, you want feedback from somebody who understands a story structure and how that affects the story and you know, who understands the different elements. And, you know, that's what we really need in order to develop.
Yeah, because I guess, you know, a story down on paper is more than just the words put in place. It's so much more than that.
Oh, yeah. And I think it's, you know, you're looking at the overall package and, you know, a good reader will be able to point out places where a story maybe is a bit saggy, you know, so maybe it needs to be trimmed back and tightened up, or where maybe something needs to be expanded, or where there are plot holes. So, yeah, you know, that's what a good reader can do.
So is there such a thing? I mean, for instance, in songwriting, you could use a phrase of "this needs padding out a bit."
Oh, well, now see,
I've deliberately asked that.
Yes, I think padding out is kind of a no-no in writing, because what that does is it takes the focal point off of the story, character, the events, and it can you know, turns into cotton wool.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, descriptive rather than storyline, I guess.
Well, and you know, I'm big on descriptions, but it has to serve a purpose. I think this is
good
the point.
Statement.
I think this is the point that, you know, padding, you know, if padding is there to keep you warm, then that's great. But if it's just there to fill up space, no, get rid of it. Get rid of it.
Good statement. Laurie, as ever, we've come to the end of our time slot, and I'm just getting into it. Maybe we'll carry on a little bit about this next week.
Great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming in again.
Thank you,
and
Bob.
I hope to see you at the weekend. Where am I going to see you?
We are going to be at St. Faith's Church for their Christmas festival in Leon Solent, St. Faith's Church, Leon Solent.
Wonderful. I really do hope to see you there, and have a great week.
Fabulous.
Take care.
Well, I don't